Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I have preached on seven continents: Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Europe, Australia, and Antarctica. I have not yet preached in a church where somebody couldn't sing. And it is amazing how generous God is. I've yet to preach at a church where there wasn't somebody who couldn't sing. What a powerful message and song we have just received, for Christ is indeed all. Now, I'm still recovering from the fact that Elder McKnight said that you all brought me here to sing. I'm still, you do not blindside a preacher like that, because that causes an adrenaline rush that could kill you. So I do enjoy singing, and I must confess that I am covetous when I hear people singing, as our brother just sang, and making it look so easy. Number one, at least break a sweat. That's number one. And then don't be showing off by playing the piano while you're singing. Come on now, we got to come on now, you know, because you create haters on Sabbath. You don't want that. The Bible, the 10th commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet." Elder McKnight was absolutely right. The last time I was here, Elder Langley not only drove by, it was not just a drive-by, but we came into this place, and I looked at these amazing stained glass windows, and I looked at what was going on around here, and he was talking about God giving you this place to worship. Elder, I can confess it now, I thought you were delusional. But let me tell you, look at what God has done. My God, my God, my God. I tell you, if I were not so far away in D.C., I'd be here every Sabbath. This is it. And I love the fact, I get nervous in a church where I don't see a cross somewhere. I love the fact that Calvary is so beautifully displayed all around us, for it was at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. I don't know why. I feel like preaching today. I feel something pushing me already. I don't know what's going. It was there by faith I received my sight. Amen. And folk on Capitol Hill want to know, why are you grinning all the time? Now I am happy all the day. What Jesus did for me on Calvary keeps me smiling. Amen. He gave me life, and he gave me more abundant life. And I know that wonderful Sabbath school lesson Annette taught this morning, but let me tell you something. We were talking about what would happen if there had been no resurrection, and I agree with the Apostle Paul, obviously, that without the resurrection, our hope is in vain. But I also resonate, see, I'm from the hood. Somebody explain that, what that is later on to you. At the potluck, I'm from the hood. And I sort of resonate with the sentiment of Andre Crouch. I got to be honest with you. If heaven never was promised to me, neither a land where we'll live eternally, I'm just speaking for myself here. I got to testify. It's been worth having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, he came along and brought me to light. You would not have wanted to meet me before I met Jesus. Okay? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Now, the Lord has placed on my heart, for joy of Troy. What a name. He's placed on my heart, finding blessings, as an S on that, making it plural, because there's more than one blessing. Finding blessings in the blessed hope. And I have to, before I get into the message, I want to thank Helen McKnight in a special way. You all know she's a pharmacist, but girlfriend can cook. You know, let me tell you something. A girlfriend can throw it down. And Pedro took me home, you know, he took me home, and Helen threw down. And I'm still praising the Lord for that meal last night. My goodness, I got to get that recipe for that loaf and take it home with me. My goodness, Lord have mercy. Praise God. And Elder Lawler picked me up at the airport. And I hope you realize what a beautiful area upstate New York is. You all, you know, you can be around something so much that you get used to it. But flying in, and even just riding here today with Pedro, and I just commented on the beauty of this place, boy. I even crossed the street from the hotel where I was. When I got in before the Sabbath, and they had some signs for a condo. But when I discovered that one condo was about five times as much as you paid for this church, I said, the devil is a liar. But anyhow, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Some time ago, a United States senator approached me and said, Dr. Black, I have just attended a security briefing on terrorism, and I have a question that I want to ask you, and it is this. Would God permit human beings to destroy the planet? He said, we have terrorists. If they could, they would eviscerate population centers. And if nuclear missiles started flying, we could destroy the planet. Dr. Black, would God permit human beings to destroy the planet? And I said, Senator, I said, you're familiar with the prophecy in Daniel 2, aren't you? He said, no. I said, come to Bible study on Thursday. So you use whatever bait you can find. Come to Bible study on Thursday, and I'm going to be talking about Daniel chapter 2. So he showed up with several other senators for Bible study. And we started out, you know the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Daniel 2, it says that, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he couldn't remember the dream. His wise men had been tricking him, and they were interpreting dreams, but they were making it up as they went along. But when he couldn't remember the dream, and they couldn't tell him what he had dreamed, he knew that they had been lying to him. I thank God Daniel showed up, and he was able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but not only interpret it, but tell Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed. I don't know, can we get that passage on the screen? Are you audiovisual people? Is it? It's Okay, that's all right. Not a problem. We can make it without. Okay. The Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you saw an image on the plain of Dura. And so there I was teaching the Bible study. You saw an image on the plain of Dura. And head was of gold, chest was of silver, belly and thighs were of brass, feet of iron mixed with miry clay, legs of iron. And he went on to give a synopsis of world history. I am so glad God has not left us in the dark about what the future holds. And we don't even have to guess about how to interpret that prophecy, because Daniel said, you are the head of gold. Babylon is the head of gold. But after you will come another inferior kingdom, as silver is inferior to gold. We know that is the Medo-Persian Empire. And then would come the empire of Greece and Alexander the Great. Edward Gibbons even calls Rome the Iron Empire. And then the dispersion of nations into modern Europe. And then the feet of iron and clay. Praise God. The senators were leaning forward as I was telling the story. Many of them had never heard it before. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Praise God. Feet of iron mixed with miry clay. And then that stone comes out of the mountain. Yes. Smites the image. Fills the earth. And I was very dramatic in the Bible study. I said, senators, that stone represents the kingdom of God and of his Christ. And Handel said, he shall reign forever and ever. And then I said to these lawmakers as they exhaled a palpable sign of relief, before God permits human beings to destroy this planet, he will hang up the sign, closing time. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, bless his name. We have blessings in the blessed hope. And whether you realize it or not, we are down in the feet of iron and clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. Praise God. What will the next great occasion be? Christ and his coming and eternity. I've stopped by to tell Joy of Troy, we are moving toward daybreak. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Now, my sisters and my brothers, how often do you think about heaven? I feel like moving a little bit, Doc, if that's all right with you. Y'all permit preachers to move in this church? You know, the Bible says where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom and there is liberty. Don't try to hold me back when the Holy Ghost starts pushing me. I apologize to some of you dignified folk, but praise God, I feel something pushing me today. Praise God, praise God. How often do you think the blessed hope? We plan for retirement, and we plan for our retirement homes, and we look at our CDs, and we look at our portfolios, and we think about how much time do I have. But I've stopped by to tell somebody that life is a warm-up act. You better get ready for eternity. I've lived long enough to know that nothing you can see ultimately satisfies. if you can see it, it will ultimately not satisfy. Even that image you see in the mirror every morning, eventually it will not ultimately satisfy. Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 8. He said, the eyes are never satisfied with seeing, and the ears are never satisfied with hearing. Praise God. Okay. And then in Ecclesiastes 4:6, I'm just tossing in some scriptures. I'll let you know when to put it on the screen. Ecclesiastes, you when the Holy Ghost gives you, you know, you got to be off the script. Ecclesiastes 4:6, I love it. It says, better is a handful with contentment than two hands full with vexation of spirit. Most of us lose our minds trying to get that second handful. You fine. You got all you need, but you killing yourself on that third job trying to get that second handful, trying to keep up with the Joneses and stay ahead of the Langleys. I mean the Smiths. I'm sorry. I mean, you're staying ahead of them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know? Just because I don't drive a car like Elder McKnight doesn't mean I got to hate on him. Praise the Lord. Now there's that passage that we saw there and the interpretation. Then the king gave the command, called the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I've had a dream and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will give the interpretation. And most of the experts living today are like Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. They're making it up as they go along. But the problem is the leaders of the world today have forgotten the dream. They need revelatory knowledge. As a two-star admiral, I sat in meetings with experts, and when we had challenges, we'd bring in all of the so-called brilliant people, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cornell, Oxford, Cambridge, and after they would deliberate over the challenges of terrorism, the consensus was, we don't know what to do. These are folk from the best schools that the world can. We don't know what to do. They're like Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. If God does not illuminate our darkness, we will perish. But I read somewhere that thy word is a lamp to my feet, 119 Psalm 105, a light for my path. I've got light in my darkness. Somebody better come get me. I'm going to preach today. You may not have me back, but I'm going to preach it like I feel it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We need, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on that Mercedes-Benz that you are trying. Isn't that what it says there, folk? Praise the Lord. Would you like, they say that's what it says in the Greek, huh? Set your mind. Set your mind on 3,000 square feet of, you know, set your mind on your retirement. Oh, no. If you love the Lord, praise God. If you are going to find blessings in the blessed hope, beloved, we need to set our mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Hallelujah. I've lived long enough to learn, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. We need to set our minds on things above. And if you only think about heaven at Wednesday night prayer meeting, only time you think about heaven is on Sabbath, you need to ratchet up your game. You know, because the world can't satisfy you. The Rolling Stones put it better than I can. I can't get no Lord have mercy, Pastor. These saints know the song. I thought these saints said, what these no saints doing knowing the song? See? I only heard it one time. You believe that? I got a bridge to sell you. All right? Yeah. I can't get. Now, if multimillionaire rock stars can't get any satisfaction, what do you expect? Augustine, in his Marvelous Confessions, the greatest autobiography ever written, the Confessions of St. Augustine, he says, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find you. Beloved, there is a God-shaped void in each of us that only God can fill. You can't drink enough liquor to fill the void. You can't ingest enough drugs to fill the void. You can't eat enough sweet potato pie. Lord have mercy. I don't know where that came from, Doc, but the Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody. You can't eat enough ackee. Am I coming in your neighborhood now? I tell you something. Praise God. I like that ackee. I got to tell you the truth, Doc. That's my favorite breakfast. Give me some ackee. Yes, indeed. And I'm not talking about veggie ackee either. I want the ackee. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every now and then you got to go off the script. Okay. Praise the Lord. Set your mind on things above. Now, what are some of the blessings? Dr. Black, you said finding blessings in the blessed hope. What are some of the blessings of the blessed hope? I'm glad you asked. Blessing is the blessing of purity. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I love this. I love this passage. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Now, I grew up without a daddy in my home. Okay? My father was so famous that a singing group wrote a song about him, okay? And the lyric stated was the 3rd of September. Okay. Some of you all, we'll explain it to you later on. That day I'll always remember. And then the refrain goes, Papa, Lord have mercy, Pastor, was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat. But they were talking about my daddy, okay? But let me tell you something. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God, my Father who is in heaven. Let me tell you, you want to know Barry Black's roots? I am a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. That's who I am. Praise God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. If they persecuted Jesus, they will persecute you if you're living right. Sometimes they don't persecute us because they can't tell us from the world. Beloved, in the future, we will be called. Praise God. No. Beloved, now, praise God, we are children of God. That's who you are right now. Even before you eat that delicious meal, and I'm getting weak because I'm beginning to smell it. It's coming up there. Y'all need to do something with that smell now. That's causing my knees to buckle here. But yeah, I'm going to hasten to my conclusion. No, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it hath not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, I'm going to look like Denzel. Praise God. That's what it says in the Greek. No. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. For we shall see him as he is. We read it in one of the Sabbath school verses in 1 Corinthians 15. transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here it is, verse 3. And everyone, hallelujah, who has this hope in him purifies himself just as our Lord is pure. One of the blessings in the blessed hope is the blessing of purity. Listen to me. Having Jesus in my life makes me want to do right even when I want to do wrong. Hallelujah. Through the Lamb of God. A hymn writer said, there's something within me that holdeth the reins. You ever felt that thing just controlling you? 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of Christ constrains us, makes you do right even when you want to do wrong. The blessing of purity from the blessed hope. Everyone who has this hope in him or her purifies himself or herself just as our blessed Lord is pure. And so if you're taking notes, write it down. The blessing of purity. There's a second blessing, and that is the blessing of optimism. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. The blessing of optimism. Aren't you glad we got it on the screen here? They're working with me on this thing. Come on. That's Holy Ghost working we're doing here. Now, when these things begin to happen, what things are you talking about, a preacher? Yeah. What are we going to do about the Ukraine, folks? I was just at a joint session of Congress a day or two ago when the president of Ukraine was talking. What are we going to do about Ukraine? I got to be honest with you. I don't even like to read the newspapers anymore. If it bleeds, it leads. And we got a 24-hour news cycle. What are we going to do about ISIS? What are we going to do about ISIL? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I've stopped by to tell somebody God is not on his throne talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit saying, what are we going to do about ISIS? He's not wringing his hands, and because he is my Father, Abba, he is my Daddy who is in heaven. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share, joy of Troy, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. When I see the world getting crazy, when I see suicidal folk, when I see beheadings, the Bible says, look up, hallelujah, and lift up your heads, because it won't be long. We're going to be leaving here. It won't be long, beloved. We'll be going home. I love these stained glass windows, but I'm willing to leave them to go to that land beyond sun, moon, and stars, where the days know neither dawn nor darkness. Somebody ought to say hallelujah to that. So there's the blessing of purity, but there's the blessing of optimism, because we look up. We ought to be the most hopeful people on the planet. Folk came to me, a guy came to me on Capitol Hill when the stock market had plunged. Chapman Black, had you heard? Stock market dropped. He said, why are you smiling? I said, because I don't have any stock. Praise the Lord. You see, I'm investing in another stock market, and it doesn't fluctuate, and my portfolio is safe. The Bible says you can't take it with you, 1 Timothy chapter 6, but you can send it ahead. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. My portfolio is safe. Not only that, I've got a mansion. Y'all gonna come by and see my mansion when you get to heaven there? We're going to have a special. I'm going to return the favor of Helen McKnight and invite her and Pedro to my mansion for a meal. I'm going to hook y'all up. Praise the Lord. So we ought to be optimistic. Now, there's a third blessing that you find in the blessed hope, and that is the blessing of come. Now, you all know this passage. We probably talked about it in Sabbath school. First, That's it. There it is. There it is. That's my passage here. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a whisper. I don't know how we doing that. You know, why they preaching so loud? Why, cause when you get excited about something, you descend with a shout. Jesus is coming. He gonna be coming shouting up here. You folk too sophisticated to praise him, giving him a little amen, amen. Selah. I want you to know he's coming with a shout. We got a shouting Jesus. Hallelujah to his name. With the voice of the archangel. And there's going to be some trumpets up there. We probably have some violins like we had in a little piano. But they're going to be with the trump of God. Oh, and then there, old Pearline Black, my mama. Died in 1987. I miss her every day. Sometimes pick up the phone, forget that she's gone, and want to dial a number because I used to talk to her every day. But let me tell you something. It's all right because there's a blessing in the blessed hope. When we put her in the ground, I knew that was temporary. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm going to see Mama. I'm going to see my grandmother. I'm even going to see that Rolling Stone, my daddy, because he accepted Jesus before he died. And even though he was a no good man, he is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I want to be in that first resurrection. I can't talk to you. I'm getting up first. Now when we go down to eat, you can go ahead of me in the line. I don't mind you going ahead of me in the line. I'll come second, third, fifth, sixth, whatever. But when the trumpet sounds, beloved, if I'm in that ground, I'm getting up first. I want to see him riding down the corridors of space. I'm getting up first. Hallelujah to his name. Then we who are alive and remain. I love the way the King James puts it. You know, my mother gave my siblings and me our allowance based upon scriptural memorization, 5 cents a verse. But she insisted that we memorize the King James Version. She only had a fourth grade education, the daughter of a South Carolina sharecropper. And she said, you memorize the King James Version because if that version was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Lord, I didn't have the heart to tell her after I got my doctorate in theology that it was 17th century writing. But anyway, the dead ink, I like it, but caught up. I don't know about you, but I want to be caught up. I don't know what that means, but I want to be caught up. Hallelujah. Now, I don't like going on roller coasters. My wife loves those crazy rides. I'm not going to stand in line for 45 minutes for 3 minutes of terror. The devil is a liar. But fortunately, I have 3 sons, and so we go to the amusement park, and they're on all of the higher the ride, and my wife said, I thought she said, when we were courting, you were always on the rides with me. I said, we were courting. Yeah, I'd have gone on anything to get you, girl. But now that you're mine, the devil is alive, I'm staying alive. I don't even like Roger, but I don't mind being caught up. Caught up to meet him, and that's a roller coaster I want to be on. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I talked about purity, I talked about optimism, and thus always be with the Lord there for comfort. Thank you. Amen. Comfort one another with these words. You're going to see your loved ones again. You're going to be reunited. And the thing I like about when you say you die, you're sleeping. I don't want mama walking around heaven seeing it before I get there. I've been to Rome 25 times. And I took Brenda, she insisted. And she said, I wish, she said, because, you've been there, and we can't move before you giving me, you know, like you're the tourist guy. I said, you don't want to go somewhere the person's already been there. No. I want to see it together. I want to see the golden streets with them together, caught up to meet them in the hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So there you have the blessing of purity, the blessing of optimism, the blessing of comfort. There's another blessing. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:14. We have the blessing of motivation. If you're not motivated to work for God, and this gospel, hallelujah, of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And with our technology, that can be done so easily. We the world has become a neighborhood. Praise God. As a witness, God doesn't say you got to convert people. He says you just got to be a witness. A witness just tells what he or she has seen, heard, and experienced. As a witness to all the nations, and then what's going to happen? We can hasten the coming of our blessed Lord. It's the blessing of motivation. I do not like, you need to know this, I don't like flying. Okay, I don't. Matthew chapter 28 says, lo, I am with you always. So I don't like flying, okay? But the reason why, some of you will get that on the way to the potluck. What? I missed that. Eh? But the reason why I just got on a plane August the 12th and flew 8 hours to England and preached in Birmingham, England, and at Oxford and preached in London. The reason why I fly is because I want the end to come. And as chaplain of the United States Senate, I can't just stay in North America. Praise God. When God has given me, you know, there were members of the British Parliament sitting there listening to me talking about religious liberty. I want to use the bully pulpit I have in the legislative branch of government for God's glory, but it is because of the blessing of being motivated to get this thing over with that I get on the plane. And of course I take my wife with me on these long flights because I don't want her behind, you know, if something happens, I don't want her there spending all the money. No, I ain't gonna say that. But the point is, that's right, baby, we going together, all right? Yeah, the devil is a liar, praise the Lord. Well, there you have it, the blessing of purity. You ought to want to live right because Jesus is coming soon. The blessing of optimism. You ought to be happy no matter what storms are coming because God is still on his throne. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The blessing of comfort, no matter what kind of pain comes, that's all right. I serve a Jesus who one day will wipe away all tears from my eyes, and there's going to be no more heartache, no more heartbreak, no more cancer, no more diabetes, no more maladies. All things will become new. And I can't speak for you, but that motivates me. When I get up in the morning, it makes me want to get up and tell somebody Jesus is coming soon. Is that all right? Amen. So now let's get to the meat of the thing. That's just the gravy, folks. Let's get to the meat here. Amen. And then I'm going to let you eat, huh? I'll say the grace for the benediction if you want me to. John chapter 14, 1 through 3. I love this passage. Now let me give you the context of this passage, because a text without a context is a pretext. Okay? G. Gamble Morgan said. Hey. Upper room. Jesus had just told Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times this very night. I'm so glad that even though my Lord knows how frail I am, he still loves me. Even when he knows I'm going to deny him 3 times, he still loves me. Said to Peter, when you are converted, not if you get converted. I've got confidence in you, Peter. Strengthen your brothers. And then imagine what a downer that was for the disciples. Here, number one guy, The guy who said, you know, I'm ready to die. And that's when Jesus told him, Pete, don't be writing checks with your mouth, you know, that you can't deliver on. I'm ready to die for you. I got you, boo. I got your back. Okay? Jesus said, Pete, you don't want Jesus to call your name more than once. See, when he Pete, you know, Martha, you don't want that. See that? That's always bad news when he goes Pete. And so here the disciples are depressed. If Peter can be taken out, what chance do we stand? And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. That's the next thing he says. Listen to me, even when your leaders go down, let not your hearts be troubled. If the president of the general conference goes down, that doesn't shake my faith in this church. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Jesus was basically saying, you're looking at him. Believe also in me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then I hate to say this, Elder Langley, but this is my favorite part. In my Father's house. Whew, plenty good room. Many, not these little old tight places, but many mansions. Praise God. We serve a generous God. When he fed 5,000, they had 12 baskets left over, one for each of his disciples. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I go to prepare a place for you. Thank you, Jesus. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. No power in heaven or earth can stop me. I will. If they couldn't keep me in the grave with 100 Roman soldiers and the seal of Rome on the stone, that how they gonna stop me from coming back? Hallelujah. And receive you unto myself. Praise God. That, hallelujah, where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to be living where Jesus is.
Amen.
You may not like your next door neighbor, but I just hang on in there. Hold on. I'm going to be living where Jesus is. Now, let's just briefly unpack this. Principle number one. Believe in Jesus' power. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And I got to drop this one on you. Romans 5:19, I believe it is. Romans 5:19. This verse brought so much comfort to my heart because so many of us are afraid of the second coming of Christ. Okay? Do we have Romans 5:19? Did I give you guys that one? Yeah, put that up on the screen here. This verse took away my fear of the second coming. And if the truth be told, some of us are afraid of the second coming. I used to have nightmares when I was growing up, you know, because I was always running to the rocks and the mountains in my dream. Fall on us, okay? For as by one man's disobedience, this is the power of Christ. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. 51st Psalm says you were born in sin. You were a sinner before you committed one sin, born that way, shaping an iniquity. I remember the first time I lied. I still remember it. I had mauled a coconut cake that my mother had made, gotten up on chairs. I must have been 4 or 5 years of age. Yeah? Mauled the coconut cake. And my mother came in and wanted to know what had happened to the coconut cake. And she lined us up. That's dangerous because my mama was a stern disciplinarian. If spanking had been an Olympic sport, my mother would have been a multiple gold medal winner. I ain't gonna lie to you. Now, I'm not commenting on the news, but trust me, what they're talking about, what Peterson did and all that kind of stuff, my mother would be in jail. I'm just going to be honest with you, you know? In fact, she would use scripture. She would say, I'm not going to beat you now. She says, I'm coming like a thief in the night. You wonder why I know so much scripture. I'm coming like a thief. And she did. 2 a.m. Oh, Lord Jesus, please. I mean, she would come. She's South Carolina. You don't want to mess with them South Carolina mamas, okay? She would make you pick the switch. You had to go out and pick it. And your siblings would be huddled praying for you. Guide him, Lord. Guide him. You didn't want to get one of them thin ones, the kind that sing when they go through the ting, 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 ting. Now, when I was, when I was a freshman in college, I ran the 100-yard dash in 9.4. And they said, this is amazing, because, Jesse Owens wasn't much faster. 9.4. I had world-class speed. Coach said, how in the world did you learn how to run? I said, you don't know my mama. You had to run. I was doing wind sprints. Didn't even know what it is. He said, because you seen, he said, the first 30 yards, the quick or the dead, that's what you had in my home. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. But praise God, before I could perform one act of righteousness, by one man's obedience, I became a saint. Hallelujah. The thief on the cross probably had a ham sandwich for his last meal. But Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. I told you, it's congenital, you know. My mama came up, who ate the coconut cake? And she told her, Barry, did you eat the coconut cake? And without a single lesson, I'd never gone to school to learn how to lie. I had enough sense to look her in the eyes, make that eye contact when you lie. Nobody told me that. I was just good at it. Speak very respectfully. No, mother. I certainly did not. You made it very clear to us. You're born that way. Born that way. But by the obedience of Christ. Sisters and brothers, if you don't get anything else I've said today, you are saved because of what Jesus did, not what you did. You can't eat enough veggie burger to save yourself. You kill yourself trying to. You can't do that. Okay, you can't have dresses long enough to save yourself. You can't raise enough ingathering to save yourself. We get there through the blood. Jesus said, believe in me. Some of us believe in Ellen more than we believe in him. And Ellen said, I am the lesser light to lead to the greater light. You better believe in him and believe in his power to save. If he would save a dying thief, he can save me. If he could save that crazy Samson. Samson was crazy. You all know I'm telling the truth. Samson was we say in my neighborhood, he's crazy. He was not even crazy. Crazy. That man was crazy. Eh? Ladies and gentlemen, Samson died a suicide. Pulled the temple of Dagon down on himself. Let me die with my enemies. But then when you flip over to Hebrews chapter 11, whose name is in faith's hall of fame, died a suicide. The blood of Jesus reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. His blood gives me strength from day to day, and it will never lose its power. So believe in Jesus' power. The second thing I want to tell you, if you're taking notes, is plan never to be shut out again. plan never to be shut out again. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Three times before, I was 13, I came home from school and my family's furniture was on the street. We were evicted. I know what it is like to be shut out. I went to college in segregated Alabama, where when I tried to go to church on Sabbath, I was turned away from the church. I know what it is to be shut out. When my mother joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church and started, as her relatives and my relatives put it, keeping Saturday for Sunday, she was cut off from her relatives. In fact, Matthew chapter 10, verse 36 talks about it. And a person's enemies will be those of his or her own household. Down here, you will be shut out. Your loved ones will turn on you. I still remember Darlington, South Carolina. I was preaching an evangelistic meeting. And I was up preaching when I heard a murmur go through the church. A woman walked in a mink coat. Now, this is back in the 70s. And a sister walking in with a mink. The church, there was a murmur throughout the church. Well, at the end of the sermon, I'm shaking hands at the door, and this lady walks by, and I shake her hand, and she gets into a Fleetwood Cadillac and drives off. The member said, "Pastor, you know who that is?" I said, "No, I don't. That's Mrs. Shaw. And she is the head of the board of trustees of the largest church in town. How in the world is she coming to our little old wooden church? We didn't have a church like this. Bad language, we didn't have a church like this. We didn't have all them pipe organ and all that kind of stuff. No, no, no. We had a little shack of a church. Mrs. Shaw kept coming back. And then it came time to put up or shut up, because God expects you to do something in response to Jesus. I talked to her and she said, "Son," she says, "I know I should join the church." She says, "I know the seventh day is the Sabbath." But she said, "My husband and my children told me that if I join your church, they're just going to leave me." And she said, "I know God doesn't want me to have my home broken up. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." You're shut out down here. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all those who live godly will what? Suffer persecution. If you're living right, you're going to suffer persecution. Praise God. The day of the baptism came. The baptismal candidates were there. I gave them the baptismal vow. But Sarah, my heart was heavy because Mrs. Shaw wasn't there. Okay? All right. And so they, you know how we get, take them through the whole thing. Do you? I do. But as they were being led away to the baptismal pool, I heard a shout in the back, "Hold it, preacher." I looked up and there was Mrs. Shaw. Now, the reason why she was late was she was afraid of driving across bridges, and there's a bridge between Darlington and Florence. We had baptism in the Florence church because Darlington church was so small we didn't even have a pool. Eh? And nobody, none of her family members would go with her across that bridge, but she sucked it up and went across that bridge. And at the baptismal little fellowship time that we had, I said, "Sweetheart," I said, "how in the world did you have the courage?" And she said, "God told me, don't you lose out on heaven because of some man." About 15 years later, I'm traveling down 95 South, headed to Brenda's home, St. Petersburg, Florida, and we go through Florence, and we stop. In those days, they had Piccadilly's Cafeteria. Lord have mercy. I wish they had them. See, you Yanks don't know about Piccadilly's, but that's all right. Somebody knows about Piccadilly's. Some good food there. We stopped at Piccadilly's, and I looked. I said, my goodness. It looks, and that looks like Mrs. Shaw. It's pretty silver hair. And so Mrs. Shaw. Oh, and we hugged one another. And you know, when you haven't seen anybody in 15 years, you're almost afraid to ask him any questions. You're him and how you doing? You know, you know, everything all right? And so finally we got around there. I said, how's your family? He said, oh, George, I got two of them at Oakwood now. Two of them at Oakwood. I said, those are the ones who said they were going to leave. Yeah, they didn't go nowhere. In fact, no, they joined the church. You know, I said, what about your husband? What about him? She said, child, she said he died and God gave me a better man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Plan to be shut out down here, but in my Father's house there is plenty good room. And even if your foes are those of your own household, you hang in there and don't you let no man or woman or anything in creation keep you from Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I got one more thing I want to hit you with, and then I'm going to go down and eat if nobody goes down and eat. I'm ready to eat. I can't speak for you. Trust God's promises. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. First, you can take it to the bank. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You're not talking about somebody who can't deliver. The 33rd Psalm says of our Lord, by the words of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For check out how powerful he is. He spake. You know you bad. I'm sorry, my bad. I am bilingual. You know you are powerful. That's what I meant to say. And I don't want to get anybody confused here. When you can speak and make it happen, Lord have mercy. Speak and lakes cuddle in their hollows in the ground. Speak and rivers flow down to the sea. Speak and the oak tree stretches out its arms. Speak and the lilies blossom. He spake and it was done. He commanded and he said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. We got to learn how to pray God's promises. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. We got to learn how to pray God's promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. I know we don't have that text, but the Holy Ghost delivered it. It says, we have exceedingly great and precious promises. His promises are like money in the bank. In fact, one of the most powerful things you can do is pray the promises. One of my favorite things to do in prayer is to tell God what he said. I quote scripture. I pray to God, but you said. I give him chapter and verse 2. Philippians 4:19. You will supply all of my needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. You said in Romans 8:28. In everything you are working for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. You said in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. You said in Romans 8. Nothing can separate me from your love, heights nor depths, angels nor principalities, powers nor things present nor things to come. Nothing in all of creation can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You said you're able, Jude 24, to keep me from falling and present me without fault, without blemish before the presence of your glory with exceeding great joy. You promised me. 84th Psalm, verse 11, no good thing will you withhold from the upright. You said, 5th Psalm, verse 12, the righteous are surrounded with the shield of God's favor. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so, my sisters and brothers, learn how to pray the promises. and trust the Savior. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You can bow now or you can bow later, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So joy of Troy, let me confess it now, because I gotta confess it now or confess it later. And I confess that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Joy of Troy, I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean not on the Ten Commandments. Oh, that's important. But Mount Sinai is not the mountain that I look to. The highest mountain in the scripture is Mount Calvary, on Jesus' name. His yoke, his covenant and blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he only is my hope and stay. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor, I've got an anchor. My anchor holds within the veil. It's the blessing of the blessed hope and joy of Troy when he shall come with trumpet sounds. Oh, may I then in him be found. Oh, I'm going to be dressed up that day, not in my admiral's uniform, dressed in his righteousness alone. Ellen White said, 1888, righteousness by faith. That's what this church is all about. Dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless. That's where I am. When I stand before the solemn judge of the universe, I'm going to stand faultless before his throne. How can you say that, Barry Black? You from the hood. You used to walk around with a 32 Smith & Wesson tucked down in your belt. How can you say you will stand faultless before the throne? I will stand faultless because on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Put your hands together and give God praise and glory in this place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout thank you, Jesus. Somebody shout glory to God. Oh, trust his promises. And so today, I want to appeal to men and women who have enough faith in the promises of Jesus that you want to say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Today, you want to confess, Pastor, I've got to be honest with you. I have not been trusting the obedience of Christ to save me. Remember that verse we saw, Romans 5, chapter 19? I've actually been trusting in, to be honest, what I can do. Oh, I know I give lip service to Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not by works, lest anyone should boast. But I got to be honest, I'm a little proud of what I've been able to do for the Lord. But today, I make a commitment to trust the obedience of Christ and not my own. I'm trusting the obedience of one man to save me. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to his cross I cling. If you're willing to make that commitment with me, I'm making it again. I want you to stand where you are. I want to pray for you. If you're willing to make a commitment to trust totally and completely and to start living like that, to stop feeling unsanctified pride because of your works, I'm trusting Christ, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. Heavenly Father, we stand today because we love you, but we stand today because you first loved us. Thank you for the blessings of the blessed hope, the blessing of purity, the blessing of optimism, the blessing of comfort, the blessing of motivation. Lord, help us to believe in your power to save. We commit ourselves to embracing the power of the name of Jesus. Thank you. And you're taking us to a place where there's plenty good room. We will never be shut out again. And oh God, help us to trust your promises, for you are a God who cannot lie. And now while you're standing, there may be someone here who is already a Christian, but the light of God's Sabbath truth convinces you that you want to walk in the light of God's Sabbath truth, not to be saved, but because you are already saved. And Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Today you want to say, you know, I need to study this. I need to make a decision to become a Sabbath keeper, and I'm willing to begin that journey. If you're willing to make that commitment out of love for Christ today, you say, I can count, I know which day the seventh day is. If I hit the lottery and somebody said, the only way you can get your $5 million is to be there on the seventh day, I would have my sleeping bag outside of his office on Friday evening waiting for Saturday to dawn. Would you just raise your hand if you're willing to make that commitment today, and we'll just put something in it. Man, woman, boy, girl, I'm ready to become a Sabbath keeper, to walk in the additional light of God's Sabbath truth. Where are you? Just lift your hand. Praise the Lord. Here's a hand. Just lift your hand. Praise God. I mean, put something in it. Someone else, just raise your hand. I'm ready. There you go. I'm ready to go all the way today. Praise God, young man. God bless you. Another young warrior for God's army. Somebody else, maybe a young person, you haven't made that decision to go all the way with God. I made my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was only 10 years of age. Okay? Wandered away, but he brought me back. Anybody else wants to lift your hand today and say, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. This is your best time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the commitments that have been made here today, for these dear ones who are standing to say, it's all about Jesus. Help us to live this principle. You said in Revelation 21, Lord, that the first two groups that make it into the lake of fire are the fearful and the unbelieving. But we have nothing to fear because of Jesus and Calvary. And we have no need to have unbelief, because whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, before I say amen, I want to give one last shot to someone who said, I'm ready to raise my hand now, preacher. You want to raise your hand to become a Sabbath keeper. One final shot. Going once. I don't want to miss this opportunity. Going twice. You know, three strikes, you're out. Going twice. Praise God. We have one more. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Seal us with your precious blood. In that name that is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God.